This podcast is brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. Thanks for listening.
We have now come to a time of scripture reading. Sister Celeste will read for us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. So we will now hear a famous part of the Christmas story from the Bible, the account of the wise men who traveled a great distance to find Jesus. As we listen, notice how these educated, wealthy individuals responded to the news of Jesus' birth. You can follow along in the blue Bibles on the seats or on the screen.
Morning, church. Today we'll be reading from Matthew 2, verse 1 to 11. If you're using the church Bible, you can turn with me to page 966. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. And thank you, Celeste, for reading God's word to us. Pastor Andrew will now help us understand this passage today.
Good morning to everyone. It's always a joy and privilege to be with God's people, and I hope you're excited even in this season when we are reminded of Christmas. Let us begin by praying and asking God to help us as we keep our Bibles open to Matthew 2. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to you for this season when we are reminded of love, love around us, but more importantly, love that you have given to us. So this morning, Father, we pray that you open our hearts to a familiar passage, but give us that familiar love of yours to strengthen us, to build us, and to remind us that life is beautiful. And the future is amazing because you love us. So help us to see the future because Christ has made it possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, there was something magical about Christmas when I was young. I wonder what it was like for you. You know, pulling out a Christmas deco and trying to decorate the house. And when I go to church, the older people happily give us all the decos to decorate the church hall, and we happily do it for free. It was amazing decorating and then listening to carols in our ears and then looking at the gifts under the Christmas tree. Like, who has Christmas trees in the house ever? Like, nobody uses Christmas tree anymore. Okay, for the old folks, yeah, there you go. Or your parents who have it. I used to have this Christmas tree, and I love to look at the tree and the gifts under the tree. And, oh, yes, please, please, under the tree, let there be a Tamiya car or an FX model. You know, this is what the kids in the 80s long for, at least the boys. The Tamiya car and the FX models that you use super glue and you get your fingers stuck together. And for days, you have this super glue just in your hand, but the feel of it is just Christmassy. How did the baby that was born end up with Santa Claus and gifts giving? I really had no idea, but I didn't mind the gifts. the gifts, or at least someone remembering me that I was important. That it is to open up the wrappers to see surprises, fixing the toys. Yet, you and I know that before we know it, Christmas is over, Boxing Day is over, and then it's back to square one and we wait for another Christmas to get a vibe again. Now, as we become adults, the reality of Christmas celebration is often less perfect than you and I imagine. The overindulging, the overspending can take a toll on the family and individuals at the end of the season. Disappointments, or even worse, the over-demanding of people or children makes Christmas kind of less festive and more dreaded. With the commercial hype, the movies focusing on being loved by that right romantic partner, Christmas can become one of the loneliest times to be reminded that you're alone. What is it about Christmas that we are missing out? In fact, is there true satisfaction and happiness when we think about Christmas? What is your answer? Is there true satisfaction and happiness at Christmas? Or do we keep looking for that one extra gift to just make us slightly happier for that fleeting moment? But the original history of Christmas paints this very different picture of giving. The gospel according to Matthew, we are familiar with today, we are given this beautiful picture of a group of strangers taking this long journey in search of God's greatest gift of love to this world. A gift that traveled further than any humans could to offer us a love that humans can ever generate. One that's greater than that. So this morning, I'd like to invite us back to this Christmas, the first Christmas, to retrace God's greatest gift of love for you and for me. Now, three big points in this short passage. First of all, there is this grand announcement of Christmas. Then inside it, there's this glorious promise. And then the greatest gift as Christmas itself. So open up your Bible if you have it with you and turn to Matthew 2. And here we find the story of Christmas. It began in the Judean land 2,000 years ago. Now, Mary had already given birth to Jesus. Jesus was still a child when all these things happened. And this is what Matthew 2 tells us. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." And so it was that unannounced day, the arrival of this group of foreign dignitaries from the east, they just awakened Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. The sleepy capital was awakened because as these dignitaries headed through the city and to the palace, they awakened everyone with this unfamiliar, strange look. These strange-looking magi, they came from beyond the Roman Empire that they're familiar with. They knew their own culture. They knew the Roman Empire. They're not familiar with the magi. Now, the term magi in the ancient world, it carries this mystical aura. There are people who practice magic, like, you know, magi, magic. They do astrology, they are dream readers, and they perform all kinds of secret arts. So it's unfamiliar because it's forbidden in Israel, but in the distant lands when the kings and the rulers need extraterrestrial help, they call these magi in who can speak dreams and who can read the stars for them. So their reading of the stars led them on this long journey to the palace of King Herod. Now, Herod probably didn't look too impressive to the magi, or at least that's what the conversation appears, because they came to Herod, supposedly the king of the Jews, and they look at him and they say, "Hey, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews?" And he said it right to Herod in his own palace. "We saw his star when he rose and have come to worship him." Now, I'm not sure if you've ever bought gifts for people you don't want. Like, okay, don't raise your hand. Okay, you buy gifts for people that you don't like, but you feel obligated to. The party that you don't really want to go to, but they say gift-giving, so you buy something. And your bosses and colleagues, like, you're not even friends, but, you know, you buy gifts, and under your breath, it says, what a waste of money. But that happens if you survive in the corporate world. But here, if you look at this passage, there's no mention of courtesy gifts to Herod. There's no greetings to the Roman Empire because the Magi are not interested. They're not interested in Herod or political alliance. They came only to look for a king by the heavens who demands their knees. Now, you don't worship kings anytime unless they are linked to the divine. Right? You come and greet the kings, you pay homage, but you don't worship one. But this king that was born deserved worship, and so the Magi came from a distant land because they needed to worship him. So out of nowhere in history, they give this grand and unexpected announcement of Christmas. Now friends, there are many voices, advertisement, movies during this December holiday that's tagged to Christmas. I wonder, what have you heard as Christmas season comes? What kind of advertisement comes to you? The question is, do we hear the loud voice that Christmas is about a worship for a king who demands and deserves it? Does Christmas and the announcement of Christmas actually put a break in our city life? Like, you're busy in this season, but does it put a pause to you when the word Christmas comes? Now, a few days ago, my family went for what we call the Christmas Wonderland and Gardens by the Bay. Okay, we went there to look at bubbles pretending to be snow. We went there to listen to so-called Christmas songs. My children tried to find gingerbread because that's what we eat when we were young, but Singapore is not into gingerbread, so they didn't have gingerbread. They got all kinds of things, but gingerbread. Instead, there was this long queue of people who wanted to take photos with that tired-looking old man. So I asked my kids, do you want to queue up for that Santa Claus thing? And nobody wants to. And I asked them, if there is going to be a queue, would there be a queue if it is for Jesus? Would people actually queue up because they want to be close to him? Friends, do you hear the grand announcement of Christmas? That it is about worshiping a king from heaven. What is Christmas like when you hear this word? Now, the passage goes on from verse 3, and so we will journey with the Magi. And this is what it says, verse 3. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests, the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. Now, just imagine for a moment, okay, use your imagination. Imagine you are King Herod. Okay? You are King Herod sitting there, the world fears you, and suddenly this appearance of this strange dignitary, the Magi, looking for the king, the king of the Jews, but not him, in his own palace. And he's looking, they are looking for a king that's more impressive than him because they didn't look very impressed with Herod. Well, to be clear, historically, King Herod is impressive. He's feared. He is powerful and he's ruthless. If you're near him, doesn't matter who you are. If he thinks that you are going to betray him, he'll chop off your head before you even have that thought in you. The world fears Herod, but here the Magi didn't care about him and says, where's the king? You don't look like that. Like, where's the king that we can worship? But Herod, it seems, feels intimidated by the Magi because he didn't chase them out, but he gathers all his people and all his wise men and he asked them to unpack the riddle. Now, there's one thing that the king knows, Herod knows. He knows there's this Old Testament prophecy that there's this king called the Messiah in Hebrew or in Greek, simply Christ. That's where you have the word Christmas. And he calls his wise men and he says, where is this Messiah or this Christ to be born? To which the chief priests and the teachers of the law, they answered, they knew the answer. They knew the scriptures well. Verse 5, it says, in Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, For this is where the prophet has written, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." So it turns out the grand announcement of Christmas is actually founded upon a great promise and glorious promise that God has given, that a king will come to shepherd them. And this king, this Christ, is to be born in Bethlehem. Now, when you hear the good news of Christmas, what comes to your mind? How do you respond to a glorious news? Now, I'm just curious for a moment. How many of us, when the day of Black Friday, Cyber Monday, or 12/12 Shopee appears, that you click that button to buy your happiness? Like, anyone did that? Okay, only the two pastors did that. The rest don't. What do you do with that? Well, we knew the glorious day was coming. We wait for it. When it finally arrived, we took advantage of it, or we get taken advantage of, just to buy the happiness on that arrival day. Now, what about the glorious news of Christmas? When it comes, what do you do? How do you respond to the glorious news of Christmas? Let's think about what happens to them, and I can guarantee you it's actually the same all through generation, even today. What did they do? If you have time to look at the rest of Matthew 2, what King Herod did was he secretly plotted to murder the child. When he fails to find the exact child, he murdered all the boys in Bethlehem and then further into the rest of the vicinity, anyone that looks under 2, just to make sure. He kills that boy because he, that old man, is afraid of that little baby is going to usurp his throne. Or actually, this throne actually belongs to him. How about the rest, the religious leaders, the people of the capital, Jerusalem? They heard the news, they flipped the scripture, they confirmed it, and then they did nothing. They got on with life. It was the Magi's, the foreigners, they were overjoyed. They had prepared their gifts, but more importantly, they had prepared their knees to worship this king. What about us? What do we do when we hear the word Christmas? Has it been oversaid? Has it been overheard? What do we do with that? Do we respond to it? Now, some of us love Christmas. Some of us are indifferent. Some detest it. Some of us take the opportunity to kind of celebrate relationship and family with friends. Yep. Some families take the time to do Advent reading during dinners, or at least we try to get your family interested or reminded of. Churches, we try harder to share the good news of Jesus. But there will be others who will tune up the commercial sound or tune so that you hear season's greeting rather than Blessed Christmas. And you get to enjoy it your way. Well, the world's response today is no different from the people in the days of Jesus in Jerusalem. What will we do as we hear the word Christmas? Are we upset? Are we indifferent? Or are we reminded that this word Christmas reminds us that God loves us? And so we come finally to the last few verses as we hear what God wants us to know in Christmas. And so look at verse 9 to verse 11. Let me read it for us. "After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose up went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Now, Jesus, he was born in a small town called Bethlehem, and it was nothing like those beautiful deco or the Christmas cards that you have about Bethlehem, because back then, it was not a tourist spot. There's no shopping mall there, and there was a Google map. So the Magi, as they travel looking for the king, what's the most obvious place to go? You go to the palace? You didn't go to that small town of nobody, right? Yes, historically, Bethlehem was an important place to remember because it was the birthplace or the anointment of Israel's greatest king, King David. But what is that for now? Like, they have a king who is non-Jew. They have the Roman Empire ruling over them. There's no commercial value in that place. Nobody thinks about Bethlehem. But here it is, the Magi, they come to the place where God chose for his king to be born. So if the Magi rocked Jerusalem and Herod's palace, the capital, I imagine how it was when this group of people, probably half the size of the village itself, comes in looking for a baby or a king. So they came, they found the unmarked, humble house, they entered the house, the Magi, they saw the child, the mother Mary, they bowed down and they worshiped him. How does it feel like if you're Mary? In this kind of place, like, she has never seen Magi. She's never seen these strange-looking people, the smell they have, the things they carry, the entourage behind them, following them and protecting them. But that was what it is. But yeah, at the same time, if you're a Jew, these Magi, it's kind of impressive, but they are also people to be hated because they do practices that are cursed and forbidden in your land. They're not good people. In your Jewish context, there are people who would have been stoned to death for their practices, their skill in astrology. Then here they are worshiping the baby or the child. Now, friends, the first Christmas is really not about a specific day. It's not 25th December because it's not even December. Christmas is not about a day. Christmas is always about a person. It's always about God's Christ, the King. He's the King of the Jews. He's also the King of the non-Jews, like the Magi, like you and me. No, he's the King of the humble. He's the King of the most powerful. He's the King of the faithful. He's the King for those who are cursed because of how we live. He's the King of those who are near. He's the King for those who are far away that you can't reach by land. By land, you have to go by sheep. No, he's the King of all humanity. He's the King of heaven. And so the last part of today's verse says, is verse 11b. Then they opened their treasures and they presented him with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, this is a $1 million question. Why did they bring these three gifts to Jesus? What do you think? Why did they bring these gifts to Jesus? And the answer is, who knows? Maybe you have to ask them when you see them in the future. But traditionally, this gives actually reveals who Jesus is and what he has come to do. And I want to let us think about this. The first gift, the gift of gold. Gold is universally a royal gift. It is suitable for one who is born to be king. Jesus, he was born in a humble manger in a small town to a people group whose king is not even a Jew. And the King Herod, he does not protect, he kills to protect himself. But this king comes as the shepherd king who will reach out and protect and gather God's people to himself. So Christmas really is about the coming of the Christ King that God brings to shepherd his people. This is what we read just now in verse 6. A ruler who will shepherd my people, who will care and protect God's people into safety. Now the second gift, the gift of frankincense. It is a religious gift. It's often linked to prayer, to temple. It's used in the temple itself. It is a suitable gift for one who comes as a great high priest for you, for me, for God's people, for the world. Now Jesus tells us that in the Bible that the two greatest commands is really about relationship and about love. And that's what Christmas is about, isn't it? Relationship, about love. Do you know what the two greatest commandments? What's the first? It's to love God, the God who loved you. That was given to God's people who had loved and rescued them. What's the second command? It's to love others, to love people who, like us, are made in God's image. That when you love someone, it's not because how good they are, how bad they are, how powerful they are. It's because they carry the image of God and you carry the image of God and you love them. Christmas is about relationship and love. Let me ask you this. This Christmas, imagine your greatest dream. You get the greatest gift you can ever ask for. But no one loves you. No one really cares whether you exist. Do you like that Christmas? You can get anything you want, but you know for the fact no one cares about you and no one knows and no one loves you. Would you like that Christmas? Maybe you might for a moment, but you look around to kind of share it and no one cares. That's not Christmas, but Christmas is about relationship and God sent the great high priest to bring that love to us. And this is what Hebrews 4 tells us. He says this, Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. Since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, it goes on, we have this high priest who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. And this is what is given to us. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Christmas is about the coming of that great high priest who brings us back to the throne of God's grace so that we can get mercy and grace in our times of need. Christmas is about bringing us to God in our desperation. And we are all desperate for grace and mercy in this life and in the coming judgment to come. You and I, we want that mercy, we want that grace. And Christmas is the day where God says, and I give it to you. I give it to you through my Son. Now the final gift, the gift of mirth. Mirth reminds us of death. Now it may or may not be the intent of the Magi. Why did they bring mirth? Probably we have to ask them in the future. But mirth is a spice used to embalm the bodies of the dead. And so this shepherd king, this great high priest, is also that great sacrifice. Jesus chose to be born as a human. He chose to die for us human. That's what he says when he came in Mark 10:45. He says this, that he came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Now for many years, if you are me with Christmas trees in your house, you look at the Christmas gift under the tree all the time and you hope, okay, Tamiyaka, 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 or something, whatever you want, you long for it. But the greatest gift is not found under the tree. The Bible tells us the greatest gift is found on top of the tree. Not the star that we see, but the one that's hung there. And this is what the Bible tells us. Look with me to the Old Testament. This is what Deuteronomy says to us. We're told this, anyone who is hung on a tree is under God's curse. Here's the reality. We are all under God's curse because we are all under God's wrath. Because all of us have sinned against God and each other. None of us are perfect and innocent. We can try to be good, but none of us are perfect and none of us are innocent. If you are, please come and tell me. I'd like to hear how you do it. But this is what it tells us in the Bible. Because we're all cursed and we all deserve to die, Jesus came and he was hung on the tree prepared by God for the cursed. And when he was hung on that cross, not a tree, Christmas tree, but on the wooden cross, he said this as his last breath, that it is finished. That curse is finished. That curse that you and I deserve is taken, swallowed up, is consumed by his own death. Now, dear friends, what gift do you hope for this Christmas? If you are not yet jaded, what do you hope for this Christmas? So my daughter wanted books. My son appreciate gadgets. I would like some sanity. What do you look for in Christmas? Now, according to various psychiatrists, a lot of people just want Christmas to be over. What do you want for Christmas? Is there a true satisfaction and happiness when Christmas arrives? Or do we keep hoping to get just one gift, whatever it is, just to spice up the happiness for that one more moment? But then you have to wait for another 12 months for that mood to come, that Christmas vibe to come. What is Christmas for you? Friends, we'll miss the point if we think Christmas is a season or just another day where you can feel the vibe. Because Christmas is not about day or season. Christmas is about a person. It's about a person who deserves to be worshipped because he comes to give us everything we need. We're offered an eternal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We are offered forgiveness of all the wrongs and guilt and shame that we have done in our life, that he forgives us. And he says, I give you perfection that Jesus carries, that glorious joy that Jesus is, that God will look at him and smile and say, you are my child. And that was given to us on that first Christmas. Now, all other gifts will leave us wanting more. That little perk goes down, and you need another one. The nice bag, you know, you need another bag. Then the nice gadget, it gets out of date. That best laptop is going to be too slow for the next game. It doesn't satisfy. The best person you want to marry, you get quarrels after 1 year of marriage. But there's one gift that lasts forever. That relationship, that joy that stays forever. It's one with God. And that's what Christmas is about. It's about that person who makes us that person with God. So friends, whatever has been on your mind this Christmas, or not on your mind because you're too tired, can I invite us, as we come to Christmas, to look into the Bible, to look at the person who offers us God's greatest gift of love. Now, as I look here, we are all familiar faces, we are all Christians, but has the word become a jaded word to you? Or does that spark you to come back to God and say thank you? Thank you for that relationship that satisfies when all others cannot. I pray that we'll have this blessed Christmas in these coming weeks. And as you feel jaded, or you feel tired, or you feel excited, or you feel disappointed, let it not be the season that shapes us, but let it be that person that brings us that greatest joy, that relationship, that love that God reveals in person for us. Let us pray and ask God to be able to rejoice in this time with gladness. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we are thankful for you, for Christ on Christmas. It doesn't matter if it's 25th December, 15th December, or whatever date, because it is not the date, it's not the vibe, it's not the season, it's not the bubble snow. But it's about Christ who proved and showed us that you love us. You love us enough to put him on that tree because on our behalf, so that we step down from that tree and receive relationship with you and to call you Father. And so, Father, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you for the reminder of Christmas. And we thank you for Christ. And all this, we praise you because Christ came to us. In his name, amen.
Right. Thank you, Pastor Andrew, for explaining God's word to us. We have now come to a time of discussion, so let us take a few minutes to discuss with those around us. Don't worry if you're not sure about everything. These questions are for everyone to explore. So first, what comes to your mind when you think about Christmas? And second, how can you experience Christmas more meaningfully this year? Yeah, so you may take 5 minutes to discuss with your closest neighbor.
Thanks for listening to this podcast brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. For more information, visit us online at busypc.sg.